Blog Talk Radio.
Recovered from their Cinco de Mayo. I think Mother Nature had a little bit of a party going on because it rained out the race, moved it to Monday. everybody was in action except IndyCar, because they're getting ready for the Indy Grand Prix. And then they're off again, getting ready for the Indy 500. So where, oh, where, oh, where do we go? Where it stops? I don't know. Let's start with the General Tire 200 at the Nashville Fairgrounds, the General Tire Music City in Nashville. A little bit of short track action there. Wonder if my friend Tammy went out there to cover that. I don't know. She used to work at Nashville Super Speedway in the Nashville Fairgrounds. Nashville, at the Fairgrounds Speedway in Nashville. They're looking to increase in size. So it was also the ARCA debut of our guest from a few weeks ago, Lexi Gay. But she had a learning experience, and didn't finish the race, but she had a good start and had a good practice, so we'll get to that. And she wound up, started second. She said 12th, I don't know. Says here second in the official results, so that's good for her in her first ever ARCA race. But suspension broke and cost her. The winner of the race was Christian X. Ty Gibbs in second spot. Chandler Smith is third. Carson Hocevar, I think that's how you pronounce it. Fourth, Brett Holmes was fifth, Joe Graff Jr. sixth. Seventh was Caden Honeycutt. Travis Braden eighth, Thad Moffitt ninth. Connor Okrasis round out the top ten. Twenty cars were in the race, so it was a pretty narrow field. Next race will be, well, there was an open test at Charlotte, so I guess they'll be getting ready for there's an open test at Charlotte they had today. Sue Chief Power PEX 200 at Toledo Speedway in Toledo, Ohio, will be on the 19th. Then May 23rd down at the Charlotte Motor Speedway for the General Tire 150. The points as they stand. I don't see the points. Let me go to the home page. They don't have them listed here, and usually have that all right together. Anyway, ARCA taking a week off. Actually, not taking a week off. They'll be in action this weekend in Toledo. So you can check them out. They're all over the place. They were on MAV TV this past weekend. So I'll keep you all posted. Check out the Facebook page. So we'll go there. NHRA at the Southern Nationals in Atlanta. Top Fuel, Funny Car, Pro Stock Motorcycle, and Pro Mod. No Pro Stock. Not sure what happened there. Pro Stock has been off 3 straight weeks. I know Erica Ender's running Pro Mod. I have to get in touch with her and find out what's going down. Well, this past weekend was the Arby's NHRA Southern Nationals. Pro Stock Motorcycle, Andrew Hines back in on the podium with the win. Jerry Savoie second. Low ET was Andrew Hines. Best Reaction Time, Melissa Serber. Top Speed, Ryan Oler. Eddie Krawick was the number one qualifier, who's a teammate of Andrew Hines. And usually it's one of those two. It's been a little bit of off a little bit. But there seem to be, well, one of them seems to be back on top. Savoie took out Corey Reed in first round one. Jerry and Steve Johnson in round two took out Eddie Krawick in the semis. This way, at least, it wasn't a Fan Times battle for the final. Andrew Hines did wind up getting through Melissa Serber in round one, so her 0-11 reaction time, which was a lot better than Hines's, her 0-11 and his 0-45, 0.41 of a second, wasn't good enough to give her the whole shot. His 6.87 bested her 7.01, so she didn't get down the track as quick as she got out of the gate. Hines up against Ryan Oler in round two. Hector Arana Jr., who's coming off a win in the semis for the final round and taking the Wally. Bunny Car, Pro Stock, I said, off again. Well, let's do Pro Mod. Got to add them now because they've been filling a lot of gaps here. Finals came down to Mike Castellana and Jose Gonzalez. Jose Gonzalez had the Alex Laughlin in round one and Sidney Frigo in round two. Doug Winters in round three. No time for Winters, so I guess he did not get off the starting line. And he might have got Mike Castellana, but he red-lit in the finals, because he did have a 0.02 ET, 0.02 slower ET than Castellana, but Castellana with an 0.51 kept the win. Castellana beat Brandon Schneider in round one, Jeremy Ray in round two. And Mike Janis, who won the four wides in the semis to take the win. Erica Enders and teammate Alex Laughlin from Elite Motorsports. Erica is not wanting to be out of a car. She lost to Sydney Frigo in round one. She was the 11th qualifier. On to Funny Car. We'll get to the standings in a bit later. Finals come down to Tim Wilkerson and Ron Capps. Ronnie Capps taking out Sean Langdon in round one. John Force in round two. Teammate Tommy Johnson Jr. in round three. They used to be teammates with the Snake, Don Prudhomme. And set the stage for the semis. Tim Wilkerson, the number four qualifier, up against Cruz Pedregon. Round one, fellow Ford driver Bob Tasca in round two. Robert Height has been on a roll in the semis. So it comes down to who got the Wally here. Caps 064 with a 4.068. Tim Wilkerson, 090. A little slow off the light there, Timmy. 4.052. So Caps, with a hole shot, takes the win with that quick reaction time. Robert Height, lowest DT, 394. Best reaction time, John Force with an 038. Top speed, Johnny Force with a 357 mile an hour, 327.74 miles an hour. Top fuel comes down to it. Finals. Brittany Force is up to her to close it out. Steve Torrance battling it out for the finals. Brittany, number one qualifier against Cameron Furry, takes him out quick, 388 to his 1224. Antron Brown in round two, 388. Brittany with a 093, 3/100ths off the light slower with a 384. So she lost 3/100ths off the tree but gained it back on the track, taking the whole shot win. Actually, it wasn't the whole shot win. She just flat out beat him. If it was the whole shot, he would have won. But anyway, that wasn't the case because he had a better ET and a better reaction time. It, up against Jordan Vandegrift in the semis. 0.76 to his 0.85, a 3.89 for Brittany, and a 4.63 for Vandegrift. But when it came down to it, 0.72 off the light for Torrance, 0.88 for Brittany. But Brittany was to be denied. It went 386 with a 3 for Torrance and 398 with a 9 for Brittany Force. Had she gotten an ET, a little quicker, like round 2 with a 384, she would have gotten the win light. But it wasn't the case, so Antron Brown had the best ET of the day with a 377. Best reaction time was Scott Palmer with an 044, and Antron also had a top speed, had the top speed crown of 323. Standings right now, Steve Torrance in the top spot, Brittany Force up to second. She had been down and on her way climbing back, so she's finding her groove back. 96 points out. So as long as she's in the top 10, then she'll be fine. Doug Pelitta in third, Leah Pritchett in fourth, Clay Milliken fifth, Mike Salinas sixth, Antron Brown in seventh, Richie Crampton eighth, Terry McMillan ninth, and rookie Austin Prock on the bubble. 1 point ahead of Scott Palmer, so he needs to advance a little bit to seal the deal to make the playoffs. For the first time in his rookie year. In funny car, Robert Height is still your points leader, 191 over Matt Hagen. But John Force is close to second, 2 points behind Hagen. In third, J.R. Todd is fourth. That's a pretty good tight battle between second through sixth. Tommy Johnson Jr. is in fifth. Tim Wilkerson in sixth. Ron Capps in seventh. Jack Beckman in eighth. Actually, that's pretty tight there. We're looking at, if I had my calculator, let me see if I can do it on my head. .238, .191. That is about 40 points between second and eighth. So, Sean Langdon in ninth, and Bob Tasca is now in the playoff spot. He's got a pretty good lead over Cruz Pedregon, who hasn't really been doing too well this past year. Usually, the Cruiser's up there. Pro stock hasn't changed. It's still Bo Butner, Alex Laughlin, Matt Hartford, Jason Lyne, Erica Enders, Jake Coughlin Jr., Roger Brogdon, Greg Anderson, Derek Kramer, and Chris McGahey are your top 10. 11th is Kenny Delco. He's 52 points behind McGahey, so that's a pretty good size gap. Next event. Coming up. Is way to go, NHRA. Let's check the TV schedule. The regular schedule is here we go. Re-airs. They will be in action in 2 weeks for the Virginia Nationals out at Virginia Motorsports Park. That's the eastern side of the state, so they will be in action on Sunday. 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. So it will not be live. It'll be same day tape, as they call it. Now for the big events of the weekend. The first event of the 50th anniversary celebration. It'll be the Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy Series. For the battling for the Golden Miles, the Monster Trophy. So let's start with the truck series on Friday afternoon. We had Mike Lewis on from Dover and previewing who was going to win. He was looking at Kyle Larson. I was kind of looking at Harvick, but it was something that hasn't happened in 12 years. And we were talking about the last time they had a rainout at Dover, that Martin Truex had won the race. But things went as planned on Friday and Saturday, and everything got underway. Johnny Sauter taking the checkered flag. Brett Moffitt was second, Harrison Burton third. Grant Enfinger fourth, Matt Crafton fifth, Ben Rhodes sixth, Austin Hill seventh, Derek Krause eighth, Tyler Ankrum ninth, and Ross Chastain rounds out the top ten. Our buddy Jennifer Jo Cobb finished 25th, started 28th. The race took 1 hour, 51 minutes. Average speed, 107. Margin of victory, 063. It was Sauter's 20th. It was 24th victory in 250 Gander Outdoor Series races. His first and fifth top 10 this year. And it's his third victory at the Monster. There were 11 lead changes amongst six drivers. Six cautions for 35 laps. Pretty clean, considering it's only a 200-lap race. Two of the cautions, of course, stage conclusions. Points, Grant Enfinger leads the points with no wins. Johnny Sauter with a win is second, so he'll get bumped up. Brett Moffitt is third. Ben Rhodes is fourth. Matt Crafton fifth. Harrison Burton sixth. Matt Crafton sixth. Austin Hill takes the eighth spot. But he has a win, so he will be seated ahead of he will be seated second, which would bump Enfinger third until we get to the end of the regular season, depending on who wins more. Let's take a win and listen to our winner, Johnny Sauter.
All right. We're going to kick off our post-race press conference here from today's race winner, Johnny Sauter. Johnny will be joining us here soon, but we're going to kick off with our race-winning crew chief, Joe Scheer, and our team representative from Thor Sport Racing, David Pepper. So we will start to open with questions. If you have one, please raise your hand and state your name and affiliation. Who would like to kick us off? We'll start with Lee. Can we check that mic, please?
Did you break it?
Testing 1, 2, 3. Congratulations, gentlemen. Joe, I guess you had Johnny in fuel conservation mode, and he flipped the switch on, what was it, the I don't know, what was it, the ignition? And can you kind of take us through what happened after that?
We always cut them off and save fuel, especially at that kind of time in the race, basically because we are trying to make our last pit stop as fast as we can, so we try to save as much fuel as we can, and we don't ever know when the last caution is going to come out. So we always do that, and then just a freak deal, they switched back on and it didn't fire. My heart went about out of my chest and didn't know what to do, but it fired back up and we lost positions. But, you know, we had a good enough truck. This Ford F-50 was pretty good today, and we, I shouldn't say we, Cap, kept Johnny calm, and we just kept fine-tuning this thing, and we knew we had something at the end.
And Pepper is the theme song for this team, Reunited, and it feels so good.
yeah, that's pretty good. We knew exactly what we were bringing back. I mean, we were bringing back guys that could win races and just make our program better, and I think we saw it today. Big win for the company, big company day, 4 in the top 6. That's 3 weeks in a row here, 3 races in a row. We're just going to keep knocking them down. That's why we're here.
All right, additional questions? Come on, someone's got to quit.
I guess it was a short one for...
Oh, Chris is going to ask a question. Thank you, Chris.
Joe, how do you guys feel like going to Kansas next weekend, and how much did this off-week stretch, the 4-week stretch, help you guys prepare for not only go over this weekend, but the upcoming races at Kansas and Charlotte?
Well, we needed the off-season, or the off-break, obviously, starting a new team, but I thought we started off pretty good. We had speed right away, but we had a little... couple of hiccups at a couple races, but we fixed that, and obviously we've been pretty fast everywhere we've come. This is exactly what we kind of thought we would have. I'm just proud of these guys, and I'm really happy with these F-150s and what we had here to work with. So I really expected to have a couple wins by now, and I'm happy with where we're at, but we worked it out a little bit here, and we've been working on our stuff. We've been going to wind tunnels, we've been doing stuff like that, and we've been trying to get it back together here. And I showed that we're pretty good, but we still got a little bit of work to do, and I think we're going to be strong here in the middle of the season to the end.
Bush beer is delicious.
All right, we've now been joined by our race winner, Johnny Sauter. We'll continue to take questions. If you have one, please raise your hand and state your name and please. If we have any questions for Johnny. All right, we'll go back to Chris.
ChrisMankEdgeman.com. Johnny, what's today the statement that you guys are forced to be reckoned with when it comes to the championship?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I honestly felt that way even from day one when I walked into the shop and just saw the progression of Thor Sport from the last time I was there. I told you this at Vegas, I think. That program has come a long way. Just the way that it's set up with Finish Fab Shop. And I know I talk about that stuff a lot. People go, oh, it's propaganda, whatever. But I'm telling you, that's how you win and lose races, is preparation and all that back at the shop. So, this is awesome. I knew after Atlanta, I felt like we kind of let it slip away a little bit, that we were going to be a force to be reckoned with. And then Martinsville, I felt like we had the truck speed and had some trouble there with the plug wire and all that. And I lost my cool a little bit that day, but I know that's hard to believe. But, you just got to keep doing it, you know, week in and week out, and just stay focused on what you can control, what you can't control. And today, I just kept my wits about me. Obviously, when the motor wouldn't fire back up, I don't know why, but I won't do that again. But just so proud of everybody at Thor Sport. This is so cool. Duke and Rhonda, they don't know what they mean to me personally. And to get them a win, you know, they've meant so much to the Truck Series, and I don't think they get near enough credit for how long they've been around here and just how hard they've worked and how much money they've spent. And to get Ford an F-150 in victory lane, that's the ultimate. So for this deal to come together so late like it did and to be sitting where we are right now, we got a lot of work to do, but good group of guys, man, and they're hungry.
There you have Johnny Sauter. On to the little bigger trophy of the Golden Monster. the Xfinity Series. Christopher Bell takes the checkered flag, led twice for 44 laps. The biggest leader was Cole Custer. He led once for 155 of the 200 laps. So he pretty much spanked the whole race, won both stages. But Christopher Bell was on his tail, taking the checkered flag. Justin Allgaier second. Tyler Reddick was third. Cole Custer, the race dominator, wound up fourth after starting from the pole. Chase Briscoe, fifth. Austin Cindric took the sixth spot. Brandon Jones was seventh. John Hunter Nemechek, eighth. Zane Smith, ninth. Michael Annette rounds out the top ten. The race took 1 hour, 48 minutes, and 56 seconds average speed. 110 mile an hour. Margin of victory, 1 3/4 seconds. So it was a pretty good gap there at the Monster. It was his 11th in 51 Xfinity races. It's Christopher Bell's third victory of the season, and his second and third top 10 in three races at Dover. So that's pretty good. Getting three at the Monster, so there's only a few guys that have multiple wins there. Of course, in the Cup Series, it's Bobby Allison and Richard Petty both had the all-time lead tied, but some guy named Jimmy Johnson just came along, and now he has the most wins at 11, so that's a lot of Monster trophies. There were three lead changes amongst three drivers. Well, I guess with one guy leading 3/4 of the race, Christopher Bell leading 44 laps, so there's 99 in the 200 laps. Of course, the important one was the last one. Then Justin Allgaier led once for one lap, so I guess he inherited a lead on pit stops. That's what that tells me. Five cautions for 29 laps. Really clean. We count two stage conclusions, eight laps each for those. So you're looking at 21 laps for incidents, and there was only three of those. One involving one car, the rest involving two. In the points, Tyler Reddick has the points lead, but he only has one win. Second place in the points with three wins, who will be bumped up to first, is Christopher Bell. Cole Custer with two wins will be bumped to second. He's third. Then you have guys with no wins. Austin Cindric, Justin Allgaier in fifth. Chase Briscoe, sixth. John Hunter Nemechek in seventh. Brian Sieg, eighth. Ninth, Noah Gragson. Michael Annette with and 10th with one win, so he'll be bumped to 4th in the seeding. 11th, Justin Haley. And Brandon Jones is there on the bubble. Ross Chastain is 42 behind Brandon Jones. That's like a whole race. And now with only starting 40 cars in the Cup Series. 38 cars in the Cup Series. It's going to take at least two races to make up should one finish last and the other finish first. So that's kind of tight. Well, let's hear what Christopher Bell had to say after his win with his crew chief, Jason Ratcliffe.
All right, we're here with the winning team of today's Allied Steel Building 200 and the winner of the $100,000 bonus Xfinity Series Dash for Cash. That is driver Christopher Bell and crew chief Jason Ratcliffe. We'll start up. Dash for Cash, the final one, $100,000. Christopher, talk about that, would you?
It was just outstanding. That's a little bit brave, but it was really good. Our car was really, really fast. And I knew right from the get-go that we had a really nice piece. And, you know, we were just kind of stuck behind there. And at this racetrack, whenever on short runs, the racetrack's just really fast and it's pretty hard to pass. But as soon as it starts to widen out, then you can start making moves on guys. So, you know, I can make a couple runs on the double zero, but I wasn't ever really able to pass him. And then, you know, getting us out front there and having short runs at the end was key.
Jason, maybe talk about that pit stop left where I believe it's 156 or so that got the 20 ahead of the double zero.
Yeah, I mean, the Gibbs pit crews are pretty phenomenal. And it's just a different group this week, actually. But they're all great. And we were making adjustments on the first two stops, and they were breaking even. So I knew on the last one, if we could just get a clean four-tire stop, that they would give us a shot at it, and they did. Really, that's what won us the race. We were making gains on the car. I think we were breaking even with the double zero on the long run. And at times, maybe a little better. Those guys had a great race car. But I knew if we could get track position, that we would be able to get it done. Or Christopher would, anyway. So it's a good day.
Excellent. All right, we'll open up for questions for our winning team. If you have one, please raise your hand, and we'll get you a mic. Chris Knight has a question.
Chris Knight, catchman.com. Christopher, almost a year ago, you said you were worried about winning races, and now you've had 9 wins since that time span. So what are you focused on doing now?
Continue, man. This sport's a very funny sport. You're only as good as your last race. So at this moment, I just need to continue to win races and get better and better week in and week out. So days like today is a really good day. I didn't feel like we had a dominant race car and we were still able to win. So those days are really hard to come by, and I'm very thankful that, you know, I get to drive for such a legendary crew chief like this.
Kyle McFadden from theracingexperts.com. Christopher, when I spoke to you yesterday, you said that finishing races has seemed to be the downfall for you, just like every season. Does a performance today quench that kind of like desire, or do you feel like you like put together a full race?
Man, it makes those crashes go away, that's for sure. But you know, it seems like we have a decent amount of days where we're able to come out here and win races, which is outstanding and great. It's just those days where I need to finish 5th, 4th, 3rd that I end up finishing 35th, 36th, 37th. Those are the days that we have to get better at. So I'm really proud of this group of people that I get to drive for on this Joe Gibbs Racing Team 20. And, you know, winning races doesn't seem to be an issue for us. It's just taking those days where we're not able to win and finishing our top 5 instead of, you know, DNF.
Next.
Zach Sternegal of Open Record. Christopher, would you have been able to beat Cole had either the race gone green or you not gotten him on pit road there?
Man, it was going to be close. We were pretty close together, and he was starting to struggle pretty bad on that long run. So I feel like, it's hard to say. But it was going to be a good race, that's for sure. Getting off pit road was going to be extremely important because, you know, it takes so long for the cars to start driving bad here. You know, you fire off, the racetrack's clean, tires have a lot of grip. So there's a lot of on-throttle time, and it's really hard to pass until you get deep into a run whenever you start seeing car difficulties. So it was going to be basically, I feel like the race was going to be won by who got off pit road first and had the lead. And then it was going to be a battle, that's for sure.
There you have Christopher Bell. On to the main event of the weekend, which got postponed due to rain. That being said, the last time this happened, Martin Truex took the checkered flag. I was at that event. Catherine Bell was the grand marshal. I got a picture with her. Very pretty lady, even now, because you figure I was 20 years younger. Nah, I was 10 years younger. She was 10 years younger, but last I saw her was on the celebrity name game. She still looks great. used to be in JAG and Army Wives. So that race being postponed till Monday. That Truex had won. It was his first ever. Back then it was Sprint Cup. Now it's Monster Energy Cup Series. Win. He drove for DEI, Dale Earnhardt Inc., the number one car, owned by Teresa Earnhardt, because he had come up through Chance to Motorsports, which was Dale Jr.'s Xfinity team, which since had changed into Junior Motorsports, which is run by him and his sister, Kelly. So they're still grooming drivers for the Cup Series. But after that, Martin Truex did go to Michael Waltrip Racing and began driving Toyotas. And then, of course, after that, he went to Furniture Row, where he did win the Monster Energy Trophy, the first one ever issued under the new sponsor. Well, after that, of course, we know the story. Furniture Row closed up shop. Well, being they had a lot of ties to Gibbs Racing with equipment and, I guess, sharing engineering. And I guess Joe Gibbs not wanting to lose someone that actually beat them for the championship, signed him on. Well, the race was rained out yesterday, and what used to be known as Mile and a Half Marty might now be Monday Marty, because he took the checkered flag. He led three times for 132 laps. The only one who led more than that was the pole sitter. Marty did win stage two, playoff points coming into play. So that's where you want to be. Stage one was won by Joey Logano because I guess people pitted early. They would rather pit early and get the lead off the stage, the green flag off the stage conclusion, than just get that playoff point. But everybody knows playoff points do add up the more you get. Martin Truex, the one year he won the championship, had so many that when he made it to the final round, he had a big advantage. And it did pay off. He did win the race that day, but still, it came in handy. Anyway, Alex Bowman in the 88 finished second. 88 hasn't finished up high at Dover in quite some time. Kyle Larson, who, believe it or not, Mike Lewis was leaning on to win the race, finished third. He did not lead a lap, but he did finish third. My pick, Kevin Harvick, finished fourth, led one lap after leading a lot past last year. Didn't lead any, but still had a good finish. Fifth place, the pole sitter, Chase Elliott, led the most laps. So that was 270 of the 400 laps. Eric Jones in sixth, Joey Logano in seventh. 8th, William Byron. 9th, Clint Boyer. And 10th, Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch only led one lap. Brad Keselowski, who finished 12th, actually led 58 laps. So, and Daniel Suarez led 21. Good for Daniel. monster, not a friendly track. Things can happen real fast. I've seen it. I've been there. That was my home track. I used to cover that race twice a year. Then I moved down here. And so, things change. But looking to get back to it, we'll see what happens. Anyway, the average speed was 127.242. Margin of victory, 9.5 seconds. 9.5 seconds. That was a big gap. Left them in the dust. It was Truex's 21st victory in 488 Monster Energy races, his second and top 10 this year, his third and top and 15th top 10 in 27 races at Dover. So three wins at the Monster. He's almost halfway to Richard Petty and Bobby Allison. There were 15 lead changes amongst 11 drivers. Six cautions for 31 laps. Competition caution for four laps due to the rain out. Make sure the rubber got down. And two stage conclusions of eight laps apiece. So that was 20 of the 31 laps. Points as they stand. Kyle Busch leads the points. He has three wins. But then Joey Logano is second in the points, but he has one win. Kevin Harvick is third, zero wins. That'll all change because fourth, fifth, and sixth, which is Hamlin, Truex, and Brad Kay, all have two wins each. So they'll be bumping ahead of Joey Logano, moving everybody down. Kurt Busch and Chase Elliott with one win is in seventh. Kurt Busch in eighth with no wins, and then we'll go from there. Ryan Blaney ninth, Clint Bowyer 10th, Arik Almirola 11th, Daniel Suarez 12th, Alex Bowman 13th, Ryan Newman 14th, Kyle Larson 15th, and Eric Jones 16th, all with no wins. Jimmy Johnson 3 points behind Eric Jones, just below the bubble. That can be made up. Jimmy needs to have a pretty good string going, so don't count Jimmy out of the playoffs, but he's not there yet. Anyway, let's hear from our winner, Martin Truex Jr., and his Monday Dover win.
All right. We've now been joined by our race winner, driver of the number 19 Sirius XM Toyota, Martin Truex Jr., who is no stranger to victory lane at Dover. Now, having three wins at the Monster Mile, but today is your first day to take home the gold Monster. So congratulations on that win. You now have one of the few drivers to have two different Monsters in your trophy case. So just talk to us a little bit about that win and taking home that gold trophy.
Yeah, it's definitely a pretty special day. Definitely seen the trophy in the driver's meeting yesterday and was like, oh, that thing's pretty awesome, you know. I've got some other Monster trophies, you know, from Xfinity Series and a couple Cup wins here, but that gold one's special. So pretty awesome to win on the 50th anniversary of Dover International, and you know, just a big day for our team, honestly. You know, to have to start in the rear of the field at a track that's really difficult to pass at, and be able to work our way up to the front all day long, and then at the end just kind of dominate. It was pretty awesome. So really happy for everybody at on our team, for Sirius XM coming on and in for two races and taking them to victory lane is cool, and just everybody's doing a great job. So hopefully we can keep this up.
All right, we'll now go for questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand and we'll get a microphone to you, and we'll start with Brett.
Noah Lewis, GSJ Sports. First of all, Martin, congratulations.
Thank you.
We heard your teammate Kyle Busch talking about how he thought that maybe Jogan's racing was off a little bit as a whole this weekend. Did you ever have any concern going into the race, or did you know that you guys were going to be pretty good?
No, honestly, I felt pretty good after practice. that we had, you know, that we had a good car, and if we could make the right adjustments for the race, we could be a contender. And then, you know, once the race started, it was like, okay, we got something here. And, you know, from there it was just, all right, how do we keep up with the racetrack and how do we get towards the front? Just how do we get that track position? So we just fought hard all day long, and, you know, guys in the pits did a good job and just kept chipping away at it. And once we got up front, it was car was just pretty badass, to be honest with you. So a lot of fun out there today, and team did an awesome job.
All right, go ahead.
David Siegel, Front Stretch. This one's a two-parter. First off, what's up with you and Dover on Monday?
Two for two, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe I need to figure out how to get Sunday races canceled. I don't know. I don't know. But I actually won an Xfinity race here on a Monday, too. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. We just – I'm going to lobby for all Dover races to be on Mondays, I guess.
I guess so. And the second part is it seems like these last couple weeks you guys have really hit your stride as a team and kind of worked out the kinks of transferring over to JGR. Do you feel like you guys are kind of at your peak right now at hitting your stride in the season?
Well, I think we're getting there. You know, I don't think you ever want to really peak. You want to always be finding things, you know, to be better. And, you know, for us, I think it's just been little details we're doing better. Pit road has been a big deal. You know, we had some trouble earlier in the year, and, you know, we were still able to get a couple second place finishes. I feel like speed-wise, we've been there all year long. We just haven't been able to show it because of some little things here and there. You know, we ran second in Atlanta. I felt like we had the best car there, and second in Phoenix, and we were probably not the best car there. We were, you know, pretty good. But we've had some really strong race cars at a lot of racetracks, and for a lot of reasons, we haven't really been able to show it, or we've kind of been, you know, having issues that have set us back. And so it's been tough. But the last couple weeks, I just feel like it's execution. You know, we're doing all the little things right, and the pit crew is doing an amazing job and getting us track position and keeping it when we have it, and our cars are fast. So, yeah, hopefully we can just continue to do this, you know. I mean, it's a lot of fun to come out here and win races, and, you know, this was a really fun weekend. It was a challenging weekend for sure, and those are the kind you like to come out on top of.
All right, Tim, go ahead.
Thank you.
Martin, Tim Kelfan with WRC Sports. I just was curious. I know Kyle Busch at the race had some comments about the rules package and about how the racing, so to speak, was at Dover this weekend. You came from the back to the front. What was your assessment? I know there were some drivers that were complaining it was hard to pass. What was your honest assessment of how, whether or not it was hard to pass or how the rules package stood up this weekend in Dover?
Well, it was definitely really hard to pass. I mean, there's no question about that. You know, I got stuck on lap cars multiple times, and if they decide to, you know, if you're running the bottom and they're running the lane up, you're good. If they decide to just cut to the bottom in front of you and shut your air off, you're about driving the fence off the corner. I mean, it's tough. But at the end of the day, we all had to deal with the same thing. And obviously we dealt with it better than everybody else, which is coming into the weekend, that was our goal. I mean, we're like, we know it's going to be tough. You know, starting in the back is going to suck. But it is that's what we got to deal with. So how do we deal with it the best we can? And that's just that was, you know, how we set up for the race, and that's how we approached it, you know, coming into today. How do we make our car try to be good in traffic? And we worked on that a little bit in practice. We worked on it some more after practice before the race. And I'm not going to lie to you, it was hard as hell. I mean, I got on the last run, I come out behind the one car, or the one car came out in front of me on new tires. You know, two lap fresher tires than I had after the last green flag stop. And I had to follow him for 25 laps. I was just stuck. I was faster than him, but I wasn't fast enough to pass him, you know, so it's difficult for sure. You know, but with that said, at the end of the day, it's all about the fans and what do they think. Was the race good? I don't know. You know, I thought it was looked pretty good, but what do the fans think? What does NASCAR think? What do the owners think? They're the three people that make all the decisions. We just drive them. So, yeah, we'll see where it goes from here. But, you know, like I said, I'm proud that we did a better job than everybody else.
There you have your winner, Monster Monday Marty. That was alluded to by the question asker. I probably would have gotten to that had I been there. Usually first, I'd like to be one of the first couple of question askers in the press conferences, because that sets the tone. And I've set the tone a few times. I've even changed the tone, so. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. NASCAR out at the Kansas Speedway. This week we have the Gander Outdoors Series and the Digital Ally 400. So the trucks and the Cup Series. Xfinity off. So we go out to back to the mile and a halfs in preparation for. Here you got the mile and a half there, and then you have then you got to get ready for the All-Star race, and then you go to the Coke 600. We have a couple of weeks down in Charlotte. Everything is going fun down there. A couple of friends going down, the NASCAR twins. So we'll be checking out the Charlotte Motor Speedway. Hope they got good seats, but they always get pit stuff and do pretty good there because they want to cover. They always get in there for the Truck Series. They got friends Jordan Anderson and people like that. So, anyway, on to Kansas. Let's see who's looking good. Chase Elliott took the win in the playoff race last year. He only led 44 laps. Who led the most? Joey Lowe led 100 of 267. Next big winner, leader was Kevin Harvick, who took race one. Kevin Harvick was your big lap leader. Kyle Larson. Joey Logano finished third. Truex, Harvick was on the pole. Truex was in the 78, so he was second in that race. Where was he in the third race? I mean, the first race last year. Harvick led 76 in the playoff race last year. Truex. Going all the way down. I don't see mile and a half Marty. I know he's in there. I just missed it. He was fifth. Brad K led 26 laps. So Harvick. I picked Harvick this past week. I'm going to go with Joey Logano this week. I don't know if Truex can make two in a row. He could be on a roll. We'll see. I don't know. Anyway, that's our show for today. I'm Vinny. We'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing. Follow us on our Facebook at Facebook/GarageTalkLive and at GarageTalkLive on Twitter. Have a good one. Bye now.